everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to answer your questions or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the implications of the resurrection, the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, and that is the heart and soul of the gospel message. Without the resurrection, we've got nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. No faith, no hope. Might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's exactly what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not occur. But indeed, Jesus was raised from the dead. When the women went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and his body wasn't there. Mary went and told Peter and John, and they ran toward the tomb, and John got there first, and he looked in, and he saw that it was empty. And it says, and he believed. Bart Ehrman, who is a biblical scholar who's turned agnostic or atheist, says nowhere in the Bible does it talk about the empty tomb, the fact that people believe because of the empty tomb. Well, right there it was. John looked in, saw the tomb was empty, saw those grave clothes right there, and it says he believed. But that's the story. Jesus Christ is alive. That's the good news. Without that, like I said, we have nothing. But because of it, then we can know things like John wrote in his first letter, starting in chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony. So just before this, he says there's a testimony that every believer has within them. And here it is. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Well, could we have life apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
No.
If he were still dead, if his bones were still in a borrowed tomb, would any of this make sense? Absolutely not. But the fact that he came out of that tomb, the fact that he was raised to life, the resurrection, means that we can know this verse is true, that if you have the Son, you have life. And if you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So what does the resurrection give us? Assurance of salvation. Yeah. Because he's alive, I know that the life that I've been given is life everlasting.
Yes, indeed. And that's Basic Gospel. And this is Basic Gospel. We'd like you to be a part of it at 1-800-677-9377. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis. And we thank you for being here. We want you to be a part of this one because that's why we're on the air live every day so that you can come in and be a part of the conversation. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to John listening to us in East Meadow, New York on WMCA. Hi, John.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. I have a couple of questions. I don't know if you can answer all of them, but Jonathan Cahn has been on TV and talks about the Harbinger and how the U.S. has mentioned it, and he uses the thing in the new trade center spiral, whatever. Is there any accuracy to that? And it kind of ties into what my second question is.
Well, John, I haven't actually read the book. You know, I've seen some excerpts. I've seen some reviews of it. I have a little skepticism about the book. I just have a hard time with somebody going into the Word of God and trying to connect certain passages to things that are happening now. I think somebody is really taking a big chance, a big risk in doing that. I mean, you're just speculating. There have been so many folks that have tried to calculate dates as to the return of Christ. Every single one of those people have been wrong. And so just for that, I have some skepticism about that particular book. Richard?
Yeah, I have read it, and I think the skepticism is well placed. However, there are some good points that he makes. I disagree that that every time you look at an Old Testament passage, you can find the United States in those passages. But the warnings are true. And the United States reflects those warnings as well as any country does, many countries, because what we're dealing with in end times is this final victory of Jesus Christ over Satan and the world system that Satan has foisted upon us. And to the extent that the United States reflects that world system, the warnings apply. To the extent that the UK or France or China or anybody else reflects the world system, the warnings apply. And so I don't think we should get all wrapped up in, God's going to bring down the United States. God's going to bring down the whole world system, period. And it's going to fall apart instantaneously. That's the impression you get out of Revelation. And so take the warnings, if the shoe fits, wear it, come to Jesus and get saved. If it doesn't fit you, maybe it fits somebody you know, and you can bring them to Jesus. But you don't have to get fearful and anxious and all of that kind of stuff.
Now, Scripture says the prophets were until John. So when people say, like this guy, and I won't call his name, calls himself prophet so-and-so, he's on TV, the radio, and all this, it doesn't make sense to me.
No, John, you're exactly right. There is prophecy today, but it's completely different than what the prophets in the Old Testament did. They brought actual new revelation of God from God to the people of God. So they were actually being used. They were moved along by the Holy Spirit to actually bring the words of God to people. A prophet today, somebody who's exercising the gift of prophecy, is simply taking the words that have already been given from God and apply it to current day realities, current day situations. So they're not getting a new word from God. They're not getting new information from God to share with people today. They're simply taking what's already been delivered, as Jude put it, the once for all delivered faith. That has been given to the saints. We hold it in our hands. It's called the Bible. That is the revelation of God. That's what he wants us to know. And what he wants us to know is focused squarely on the person and work of Jesus Christ. There's nothing new that's going to be added to that. So there are no prophets like they were back in those days, nor are there apostles like they were back in those days.
Right. And the dual covenant, like some famous guy on TV talks about, he seems to be led by God, but not by this. The dual covenant, the Jews or the Hebrews are not being called or never were called. I don't see that.
Well, I don't see that either. No. I mean, it starts with Abraham. God set him apart and said, through you, the world is going to be blessed through your offspring. So he chose Abraham's bloodline to be the bloodline for the Messiah. But the end result of that was Jesus. And now in Jesus, the entire world can be blessed, both Jew and Gentile. So this salvation is for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. I think that's the great news of the gospel, and that's a unifying truth.
Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much.
You're welcome, John. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yeah, plenty of open lines for your calls at 1-800-677-9377. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 1-800-677-9377. We have a wonderful offer for you this month. Resurrection Month, as a matter of fact. The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. It's a CD series by Bob Christopher, and you can get your copy for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You can go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a link on the homepage there at basicgospel.net, or you can dial during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828, for the Resurrection, Power for Daily Living.
Yes, indeed. Yesterday, we gave basically a gospel presentation on the program. I had something inside of me that I felt it was important to do so. A lot of times we talk about the gospel. A lot of times we talk, around the gospel. And I felt like yesterday, let's just lay the gospel out there, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what that means. And I presented it in such a way that it was actually an invitation. if you believe that God is speaking to you, that these words are going direct to your heart, and maybe today is the day of salvation. Got a wonderful email from Paula. She wrote to me and said, I was listening to the radio, and it sounded just like you were talking to me. I was raised in church, baptized in my teenage years, played the organ for service, attended church regularly, listened to the best ability to understand what being a Christian means. And we were talking about that that CD series, Power or Resurrection Power for Daily Living.
Yeah.
And so she couldn't catch the title of that, so she was writing to ask about that and wants us to send it to her. But I loved what she had to say. I remember when I was sitting at that youth camp, I felt like the pastor was speaking directly to me, like I was the only person in the room. And how he knew what was going on inside of me, I just couldn't get, but he did.
Yeah.
And that's the power of the gospel message. It speaks to us right where we are. And that's what happened in Paula's life. And so, Paula, if you're listening, thank you so much for taking the time to write to us. We will get information to you about that series and some other resources that we think will be helpful to you.
Yeah.
But this gospel message is about life. It's about us going from death to life spiritually, just as Jesus Christ went from death to life physically. It's the most dynamic message on the face of this earth. It's
yeah.
not about self-improvement. It's not about you trying to do your best, be your best for God. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. It's about God bringing you to the point where you die in Christ, where you're buried in Christ, so that you can be raised in Christ to live in the newness of life.
It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry, The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living, the CD series by Bob Christopher. BasicGospel.net, you'll find a link right there, or you can call 1-800-727-2828.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Corpus Christi, Texas, and talk with Jesse, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, how's it going?
Hey,
I just got a question. How do you get God to reveal his will as far as your future? I met a girl that I liked, and we were together for a while, but then we went our separate ways, and I still love her. But how do I know whether she's the one that God has in line for me, or does he have someone else? How do you tell?
Jesse, excellent question, and I think we're always trying to figure out what God has for us in terms of relationships, who we're going to marry, where we're going to live, where we're supposed to live, what kind of job we're supposed to have, those sort of things. And there's nowhere really in the Word of God that lays that kind of information out for us. He gives us specifically some things that equate to his will. Believing in Jesus Christ, coming to know Jesus Christ personally, being made alive together with Christ. That's God's will for your life. That's what he wants for you more than anything else. He wants to come and live inside of you. Your response to that is a heart of thanksgiving. Paul says that's the will of God for your life, to give thanks in all things. Well, if you can walk by faith in Jesus Christ and give thanks in all things, then you can trust the Spirit of God in your decision-making on issues about relationships and that sort of thing. So I think as far as a relationship is concerned, somebody that you're contemplating marrying, you have to ask some questions. Is your relationship with that person built upon the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are both of you believers?
I am. I'm a new believer. She was a believer. She's kind of in the new age thing, the enlightenment and all that, you know, stuff, listening to people like the Dalai Lama and stuff like that. So that's the only bad thing. But
well, is that a red flag to you? I mean, do you have a warning light that's on inside of your heart in that regard?
Well, this is a funny thing, because I went to my local church here, and the preacher, right before he was going to give his sermon, said that he was going to say something on another subject when he said that right before God spoke to him to give a sermon on a particular subject. And when he did, I was, like, blown away because it was like he was talking to me directly. And the message I was talking, he was talking about Daniel, how he they told Daniel to wait. And, you know, the sermon was about waiting, to make a long story short. It was about waiting and waiting, trusting in the Lord, having faith and believing him. And the way I took that is, like, maybe I should wait for her to come around. Maybe she'll come around, she'll come back to Christ, and we'll get together. But, you know, what if, see, that's the thing. What if, like, because there's a girl in my church that I think she's interested in me, but I'm not interested in her. But what if God's saying that's the one for you that I have? So, see, what he's, I don't know.
Well, Jesse, I think you have some clear information in front of you. It's not like God's hiding something from you and trying, you know, and you're just trying to guess, you know, what he really wants. You have some feelings for a particular lady. You have an attraction there.
Right.
You like that aspect of it. But you know clearly that she's not in Christ. So you know that you're unequally yoked. And God says, you know, don't be unequally yoked. That has a broad application of partnerships and that sort of thing, but a specific application as far as marriage is concerned. Well, why do you think he would say that to you, Jesse, to not be unequally yoked? Is he trying to withhold something from you, or is he saying that for your benefit, for your good, for your well-being as a human being?
Well, the way I look at it is because I have hope and faith that maybe she'll come around and come back, and then you have two people saved and both to glorify God in a union, and I think that'd be beautiful then to have someone that's already saved, you know. And because when I first met this girl, I was a worldly person, and God, I feel God used her as an instrument to change me around, and I did. So why can't, you know, he use me to change her around? And it's just, I mean, he's saving two people, you know, killing two birds with one stone, and I think that'd make everybody happy, both of us and God. And that's just what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, that's what we kind of lay out there is what we would hope would happen. But that happening is dependent upon her, isn't it?
True.
I mean, you can't bring about that result. You can try, you can say, I think this is what God has in mind for me, that I'm supposed to save her. We're supposed to get married. And you try to make that happen, and it doesn't work. You get frustrated, she gets frustrated, and it becomes a big, huge mess. What I suggest to you, Jesse, is this. You know you're a believer. You keep growing in the Lord. You keep growing in your knowledge of Christ Jesus. You keep growing in your understanding of what Christ has accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. You let the gospel story become your story. That's what God's will is for your life right now. And then you trust Jesus Christ to work in this person's life. You leave that in his hands. Don't try to help him along. You know, Lord, you need some help here. We'll help move this along and get it done a little quicker. You just leave her in God's hands. Yeah. And if there's somebody else that he's bringing in your path to develop a relationship with, a friendship with, you know, I think that's a good thing as well.
Like I said, I thought of that too, because I said, well, maybe God's bringing this other girl in church that, you know, she's already a believer, she's already saved, and she's in a higher stage of her Christian walk than I am. I'm a newbie. She's already been there. So, but then if that happens, and then what if this girl comes back and I'm like,
don't worry about the what ifs, Jesse. Don't worry about those. You just live one day at a time.
All right.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. You're very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome, Jesse. Let me put you on hold. We've got some resources I think will be greatly beneficial to you. You hang on, okay?
Yeah, good to hear from you, Jesse.
Let's go down to New Orleans and talk with Henry, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Henry.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Okay, good. Oh, man, I had a different question earlier, but when I heard the last two callers, my mind changed a little bit.
Well, that's not allowed. You can't change your mind, Henry.
Oh man, but I think this one here might be worth your time. But I've been married for about eight years now. Me and my wife have been separated about maybe a year and a half. And I just heard the last caller about, you know, something about, you know, the woman that he was involved with, he still loved. And the thing about it, what happened is, you know, in that year and a half time, my wife had went her separate way. We never divorced yet, and she was involved with another man, and I was involved with this other woman. But at the same time, the spirit of conviction kept coming over me and saying that, you know, I knew what I was doing wasn't right, because every time I was reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God and stuff like that, it kept compelling me to pull away from the woman that I was dealing with. And make a long story short, my wife had asked me to come back, you know, several times, but I didn't believe that her heart was with me. And right now I've been, you know, wrestling back and forth. Should I try to make it work, or, you know, I'm really trying to let God lead me in this there, but it's like the enemy, the devil is bombarding my mind too at the same time, telling me that I don't need to try to work. I don't need to work. I don't need to make it work. I don't need to really, you know, try to, you know, go back and make things, you know, make things right or whatever like that. But my thing is, you know, I'm just trying to see, is there anything that I may have overlooked in the Bible that could probably give me some more insight on probably how to make a better decision?
Well, Henry, if you're in Christ and she's in Christ, here's what that means. You have Jesus Christ living inside of you. She has Jesus Christ living inside of her. And Jesus mm-hmm. wants to bring you back together. He wants reconciliation to take place, and if the two right. of you will trust him, you can watch that happen. And it's right. it's a marvelous, marvelous thing, and you can come back together, and marriage can be more than you ever dreamed or imagined.
So your
hope in this is not, you know, do I want to work this out or do I not want to work this out? Your hope in this is Jesus Christ himself. He's alive. He's right. living in you.
Right.
Obviously, when y'all stood at an altar, you made a vow to each other till death do us part. And you right. vowed to be together in good times and in bad, for better or for worse. That's what right. you said to right. each other. Well, you can't make that happen. Why? Because there's all sorts of things that can detract you, can capture your mind and heart and move you in a different direction. But Jesus Christ right. can. And so I just encourage you to trust him to bring you together, to be reconciled. Maybe you start out just being friends again and rebuilding this relationship on the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And
right.
as you allow him to rebuild it, then you start seeing, hey, there really is a love here that's deep within our hearts. And it starts to surface. And so you can start acting on that. And that's the way God works.
That's what I thought about. I thought about doing, maybe we should just like date again. Like, you know, it's like starting all over again, you know, but pretty much me and her just, like, do the dating thing, like, you know, trying to start a little.
I think that's a great idea. Let me do this for you, Henry. We're about out of time. We have a CD on marriage. I'd love to send that to you. You hang on, and we'll get your information and send it your way, okay?
As a matter of fact, yep. all of the materials we talk about are available from store.basicgospel.net. But the one I want to talk to you right now about is the Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. You know, of course, the Resurrection is the single most important event in human history. Power for Daily Living. It's available by simply making a gift to Basic Gospel, and you can do that by going online to basicgospel.net. It's the new series by Bob Christopher, and we want you to have a copy of it. Yours for a gift of any amount. Again, go to basicgospel.net or dial 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number, and it's good up to about 6 o'clock Central Time today, 1-800-727-2828. Resurrection, the Power for Daily Living. That's, of course, available for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Don't forget the Bible Conference coming up in June, the 19th through the 21st, and 2014. You'll find information on it. We hope you'll get registered and be a part of it. The website, stand2014.com. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.